morning, everybody. Lord bless you all this morning. Was there a song or a poem that was to be memorized?
Yes.
Oh, the very one we're reading today?
Actually, last night it was the one before. Lord, who shall abide in that time?
That's the
one previous.
Oh, that was 15 and 16. Okay. Okay. Let's all stand. And are you ready? Now, how did they memorize it? In the Septuagint or the Masoretic?
King James.
Okay, let's just start. Lord, everybody, Lord, Columbia right now with Brother Ishmael, and let's also remember the brothers in other places. Does anybody think of anything else that we need to pray for?
Uncle Joe.
Okay, Joe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we ask for your direction and your guidance upon our lives. We pray that you would correct us where we need corrected, discipline us, and chasten us. And pray that you would give us wisdom, Lord, and teach us as we humble ourselves before you. We pray that you would help Brother David, give him wisdom to encourage and strengthen the brothers in Colombia. And we pray for the others in South America, especially Brother Roberto and the group in Brazil that's trying to work together as a fellowship. We pray for those that are alone, Brother Jefferson, Brother Joe. We ask for your help in this time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be reading from Psalm 16. I'm going to read out of the Septuagint. There's a few words that are a little more stronger or clearer on some points that I wanted to bring out. Starts out, "Keep me, O Lord, for I have hoped in thee." And the King James says, "Preserve me, O Lord." One thing I've noticed about the Psalms is they were always written by people who were facing very difficult challenges and going through hard times. And they're always cries of people in need that are looking to God for help. And a lot of these songs are just shows a lot of the things that they had to go through to be faithful to God. And the first thing this psalm says is, keep me, O Lord, preserve me. I have hoped in thee. I said to the Lord, thou art my Lord, for thou hast no need of my goodness. On behalf of the saints that are in his land, he has magnified all his pleasure in them. Their weaknesses have been multiplied. Afterward, they hasten. I will by no means assemble their bloody meetings, neither will I make mention of their names with my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and my cup, and of my cup. Thou art he that restores my inheritance to me. The lines have fallen to me in the best places. Yea, I have the most excellent heritage. I will bless the Lord who has instructed me. My reins, too, have chastened me till night. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue exulted. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt fill me with the joy of thy countenance. At thy right hand there are delights forever. Here it mentions that there were assemblies. He said that he by no means would assemble with people whose meetings he called bloody. Today there's all kinds of people meeting together in the name of the Lord. And even in Isaiah, God even said, who called you to trample on me in my courts? And he even says their offerings were a stench to him. People are doing all kinds of things in the name of the Lord today. And we're in a time of great need. It's a difficult time we're facing. Maybe even worse than this. And here David is calling out to the Lord, keep me, preserve me. I don't want to be a part of these things that they're doing. Even in the end of the psalm, he says something that became even a prophecy of Christ about not leaving his Holy One to see corruption. And how God had made him to know the ways of life. One of the things right here in the middle of the psalm that it mentioned, he says, I will bless the Lord who has instructed me. My reins too have chastened me, even till night. When you think of chastening, that's a word we don't use very often in just talking with each other every day, but when you think of chastening, what do you think of? What's that, Randall?
Punishing.
Any other thoughts? Uh-huh.
What's that?
It sounds like chastening.
It sounds like chastening. Discipline. Correction. Instruction. That was David's plea for God to keep him and preserve him. Thanking the Lord for the instruction and chastening that he received. This is when man fell in the Garden of Eden, God allowed or provided things that would chasten us, that would discipline us, and that would correct us. He said, what did God say that would happen now that Adam had disobeyed God? That how would he have to live now? Randall? Yeah, it would be hard to have food to eat. He would have to toil with sweat and labor. and that the earth would bring forth thorns and thistles. This is chastening. This is discipline. It's good for us. It helps keep us. It helps preserve us. But we're living in a time where the man has done everything he can to avoid God's discipline, to shelter himself from the difficult things of life. So now for a lot of people, it's not hard to have food to eat. It's not hard to live. They keep themselves, this world has come so far in protecting itself from the difficulties and the hardships that just the normal things of life should teach us and keep us in a place where we can at least be humble enough to hear some of the things that God has to say to us. And all around us, those things have been removed. And our prayer should be that God would keep us, that He would chasten us and discipline us. The message of God to us, one of the first things Christ said to anybody who wanted to be a disciple disciplined by Him, was deny yourself. A lot of us that haven't grown up in this church haven't had the opportunity to receive the kind of discipline that David is thanking the Lord for here. And it's hard for us, and we have to go back and we have to learn things. We have to accept chastening and discipline. I didn't grow up with the kind of discipline that would humble me to be able to accept the message as easily as God had intended. And when I was 18 years old, I remember reading a passage in Hebrews that we're all familiar with and we've all heard. And I might have read it before, but I remember when I read it, I prayed to God. And it's where it says, "If you are without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And I remember just praying that the Lord would just chasten me. Whatever would be needed. That was before I knew anything about the path that we're on now. I think God honors prayers like that. And I think it's a prayer that we need to ask God for, that He might keep us. That's Christ's message. Deny yourself, or you are not worthy to be my disciple. And that's the message that brought us to where we're at now. A message of chastening and discipline. A difficult message. A hard message. One that shows men where they need to be men, and women where they need to submit and dress modestly and use a head covering. And today when we go out with that message, just this Friday, a girl came up to me and said that it's ignorant and insensitive. We're facing a world with a message of discipline, and this world has done everything it can to shelter itself from it, and it cringes when it hears these words. They hate this teaching. They've been taught that it's wrong. That these things are just not even right. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult for God to keep it's going to be hard for us. And we need to just pray as David prayed that He would keep us and be thankful for any discipline and any chastening that He might have for us. It comes through your parents, comes through the difficulties in life, comes through the church, comes from God Himself. So. May the Lord bless you all.